One of your quotes that I saw, and I don't know where I saw it, it could have been your website, it could have been something you said, let food be thy medicine versus medicine as food.
Right.
I love that.
Yep. That's what we're about.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today I sat down with Art Cummings. He's the co-founder of the Real Food Academy, headquartered in Miami, Florida. If you're in the area, this place is a must-see. 5,500 square feet dedicated to clean, healthy cooking. Real Food Academy is on a mission to teach both kids and adults how to cook using real nutritious ingredients. As they like to say, echoing Hippocrates, let food be thy medicine, not medicine be thy food. They have a really strong item 19 disclosure. Their corporate store in Miami is generating over $2.2 million in revenue and netting over $270,000. So it's pretty impressive for a cooking classes. If you're passionate about clean living, if you love the idea of getting in early on a fresh concept and are drawn to the David versus Goliath fight for better food, this episode's for you. Enjoy the show. Well, I really appreciate you being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course. How did you get here? You have a fascinating story about your journey to this point, which every entrepreneur wants to hear. Like the trials and tribulations of being Art Cummings and how you got to this place. So share with us your journey, if you will.
Yeah, so it started very accidentally. I don't know if you remember 2008, but in 2008, I was in financial services. And Maria, like a lot of people in 2008, had kind of waded into the real estate markets. Right, so we owned a lot of real estate. I was doing financial planning. And then 2008 happened and we lost everything, right? So we lost all of our properties. My pipeline for all of my financial planning clients disappeared overnight. And it was pretty devastating, to be honest with you. And we didn't have a plan. But in the meantime, because Maria's background was in culinary, she was a great chef. She was invited. A friend of ours had a Montessori school and she was invited to do a cooking class after school, just while we decided what we were going to do with our life. And so that class became very popular. And then from that class, you know, it started off as this simple class that was not much of a business at all. But then one of the parents said, hey, would you come to my house and do a birthday party for my kids turning 8 years old next week or whatever? So that's the way this business began. I had nothing to do with it in the early days. It was all Maria. I didn't think of it very seriously because I was the guy that put on a suit and tie every day. And I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life while she was running around doing cooking classes.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Very cool story. Yeah. We all remember the housing crisis. It's hard not to, right? There's just things that are seared into your brain, especially if you're an investor.
We actually filed bankruptcy. We literally lost everything. Along with all of our properties. So like I said, Maria was doing these cooking classes literally just to put gas in the cars and pay the FPL bill just, you know, to survive. It was literally that bad for us.
I feel for you. Yep. I'm a real estate investor. I've got multiple properties. I know what you're talking about.
You remember.
I remember well, very, very well.
Yeah, we got caught up in it like a lot of people.
Look, you live, you learn, you're an entrepreneur.
Right.
You are now. Now tell the audience, what have you and Maria created, right? What is the Real Food Academy?
Back in 2008, while Maria, her background was in culinary and mine was in financial services, the one thing that we shared was this incredible curiosity and interest in nutrition and health and wellness, right? How to eat well. So when she started doing these cooking classes, it was natural for her to talk to the kids about how to choose healthy ingredients from the start. So yes, we do the culinary entertainment, but plus health and wellness, right? So when the kids were going home and saying, Mom, you know, Chef Maria told me we shouldn't be eating this particular ultra processed food, or we should replace these ingredients with those ingredients. This is what kind of, you know, gave birth to the Real Food Academy, because these parents are coming in saying, I need to meet this Chef Maria who's got my kid pulling things out of the cart at Publix, you know, and you know, the kids are educating the parents.
Love it.
And so, so this is a long time ago. And now everybody knows that chronic disease is getting worse and worse. So it was resonating back then and even more now, because we've made the connection between culinary education and educating people how to prioritize how to choose the right ingredients.
I love it.
So we'll tap it in now too. The chronic diseases are off the charts, right? Whether, and every family, you know, you have friends and family that are affected, whether it's heart disease, cancer, diabetes, dementia, all kinds of mental health issues are all directly related to the food that we're eating, that we shouldn't be eating. And then the food that we should be eating that we're not eating. And people just don't know the difference. So we just found it was very natural, if we're doing a cooking class, to prioritize that part of the class, right? Not just making delicious, healthy food and having fun together, but also saying, okay, if you're gonna be, let's just say you're a carnivore or you eat meat, instead of saying this is the way to cook a steak, we're saying, okay, if you're gonna cook a steak, you want it to be grass-fed, grass-finished, and here's why, right? So we don't care if somebody's a vegan, carnivore, Mediterranean, or anything in between, right? We're just showing them how to have the healthiest version of that particular diet.
I like that. So you're agnostic other than remaining healthy, right? Totally. I only eat seafood. Fine. I only eat nuts. No problem. I only eat, right, meat.
100%.
Good for you. Because right, I like that.
The truth is there are some very unhealthy ways to be a vegan, or there's some very healthy ways to be a vegan. And the same can be said for carnivore. And we are agnostic. We don't care, but we will place the emphasis on choosing the healthiest ingredients. And that goes for kids, whether it's for kids or for adults.
Or adults, right. I completely agree.
Yeah.
You have to have this. And if you don't, I want to know what you and Maria are using. I use an app called Yuka, Y-U-K-A. Mm-hmm. And I could go to the store and scan literally any barcode and it will tell me what's in it. And it will... Are you doing something like that or similar?
I've heard about the app. We don't use it ourselves. We built the curriculum over the years. So, you know, we have our own app really pretty much, which is our curriculum. So we know when it comes down to whatever the ingredient is, whether it's flour or oil or sweetener or whatever, we know what we're purchasing, and this is what we teach and have been teaching for 17 years.
One of your quotes that I saw, and I don't know where I saw it, it could have been your website, it could have been something you said. You said something about food and medicine, which reminded me of Hippocrates, right?
That's right. That is the quote. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let food be thy medicine versus medicine as food.
Right.
I love that.
Yep. That's what we're about. That's exactly what we're about.
Let's get into, so we have the business model. We're open in Miami. We're going back now. You decide to franchise the concept.
Yeah.
When?
So we were approached by a big franchise consulting firm back in 2016. Right before we had a small location in Miami Shores, 1,100 square feet. And just before we moved and, you know, we were finishing up that lease, we were approached by this franchise consultant. So this is when we officially started the process. But then when we moved into our current location, which is 5,500 square feet, we had some real big construction challenges. So the few steps that we made along the lines of franchising, it was put on the back burner for several years. And so we didn't really re-engage with the franchising process until probably and then COVID happened, right? So then COVID was what, 2020 and 2021?
Yeah, 2020, yeah.
Yeah, so... that was just survival mode, right? Because those were two difficult years to get through. So it wasn't until like 2023 that we really got serious about franchising, put the operations manual together, got the FDD filed for the first time in 2023, and got involved with some companies that weren't the best fit for us. We were kind of spinning our wheels, spending a lot of money. You know, hindsight is a wonderful thing. I had to do it over. I probably would have gone in a different direction. I'm not going to name any names of companies, but spent about, you know, a lot of money and time in 2023. And then in 24, only last year is when I feel like I started to get on the right track, got involved with some brokered several broker networks. And this is where we're starting to make some traction and get our
That's great. There.
Yeah.
So for people listening that have ideas and want to be franchisors, what Art is saying is when you enter this industry, some of the worst characters are on the front end of franchising.
Yes.
Because they're preying on your love for your baby. That's what they're preying on. It's like, man, your idea is great. We're going to, for 60 grand, 80 grand, we're going to create all this stuff. We're going to find you franchisees. It's all bullshit. Yep. It's all bullshit. Okay.
Yeah.
So and be very careful on the front end.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I would say if somebody is in that situation where you're thinking about franchising, do your homework, you know, and I didn't. This is a really big franchise consulting firm. And I did a little bit of due diligence, but I not enough, obviously. And so I just went all in and put on my blinders because that's kind of my nature. Just, okay, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I just kept following their advice. And then as soon as I got the FDD filed and the operations manual, they had an affiliate company that would take over all the marketing, right? And that was also not a very good fit. But so you live and learn, you know, and
that's right.
Most of the things I've learned in my life, it's been the hard way. So, and that's no exception.
Go through, if you will, services. I want to wrap my head and I want the audience to wrap their head around exactly what services that you're providing and how we monetize this business.
Okay. So the original name of the company was Cooking with Kids Miami. Okay. That was in 2008. In the beginning, we only worked with kids. As I told you, the cooking class, that was the first thing we did was cooking classes. Then, as I mentioned, the birthday parties, a teacher would come in and say, hey, would you come to my classroom and do a cooking class for my students, right? That's how our field trip program was born. And then in 2010, we got our own location, and that's when we were able to add the camp program. So basically, when schools are closed, we're open, whether it's summer camp or winter camp, spring break camp, you know, or teacher work days, Martin Luther King Day, President's Day, whatever. That's a big part of our business. So we were able to add that in 2010. And then the parents just, they were simply looking at all the fun the kids were having and they were like, when are you going to do a cooking class for us? And they were working on Maria for a while. And in 2014, we said, okay, we introduced adult cooking classes. Then we introduced adult parties, right? Could be birthday parties, could be a team building event for companies. And I think that's when our company really exploded. In fact, we had an 1,100 square foot space in Miami Shores. We were turning away a lot of business back then. And that's when we looked at our place now and it's 5,500 square feet. Which is, we're not recommending our franchisees go to 5,500 square feet. We definitely utilize every single square inch of that place. But I guess probably one of the questions you'll be asking me. So since we're talking about this. Yeah, since we're talking about this
that
now.
That space, I started out with that space because that space is remarkable. That I know that's flagship. And I was curious, what are you suggesting the franchisees? Yes. A 2,000, 2,500 max?
Yeah. So we fell in love with that space for all the obvious reasons. And if anybody sees any pictures, they'll understand why. But when we decided on the square footage that we're recommending, we landed on 2,400 to 2,800 square feet.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that we know that we've turned away so much business with that smaller square footage. And we know what our party size is. You know, a kid's birthday party of 25 kids is kind of average for us. A team building event of 50 adults is average for us. So we attract a lot of bigger groups. Wow. And so it was just a matter of kind of coming up with that sweet spot. We don't want somebody to be paying more rent than they need to be paying, right? Because the bigger the space, the more they're going to be paying. But we also don't want them to experience what we were experiencing, which is turning away a lot of bigger groups. Right. So we landed on 2,400 to 2,800 and we think that's going to work just fine.
You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Franosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at franocity.com. That's franocity.com. We look forward to working with you. Okay. All right. So we're offering cooking classes, kids, adults. You have the camps, so you're monetizing the business in the off season when the kids are not, you know, they're out and about. So you're offering summer camps. I'll be specific. You have parties, meaning birthday parties, any kind of party, host the party. You have after school. What do you do?
Yeah.
They get out of school at 2:30 in the afternoon. You're working till 6. They could come in after school.
We do two different types of after school programs. One is are held at our place. So if the kid is in a school nearby and that school doesn't offer after school programs in that school, we have them come to us, right? At the same time, we go out to different private schools in the area. So where they offer different enrichment programs, you know, like soccer or tennis or whatever, and cooking, we will provide the cooking program in those schools. So we have two different versions of after school programs at the same time, Monday through Friday.
If you looked at the business, I think it's awesome. I love it. And I love multiple legs on a stool. I don't like one-legged stool businesses. Like, for example, with all due respect, we only do cooking for kids. I don't like it.
Right.
I need multiple legs on the stool. I want to know that there's more revenue opportunity, more ways to scale, more people can say, I go there. It's a force multiplying effect. I don't 100%. Like one-legged stool businesses. Yeah. So I totally agree with the direction you've taken a company in. What is that mix of business though? Cliff, you know, half of our revenue is actually kids and half of it is adults or not even close. How's that mix?
It varies from year to year, right? But it's this past year, it was about 65% kids and 35% adults, right?
Okay.
Kids are a driver in our business. We do two kids' birthday parties on Saturday and two on Sunday almost every single week throughout the year, right? Very rarely do we have an opening for a kid's birthday party. And then camps. I think the popularity of our program is driven by the fact that the kids aren't just having fun learning how to cook and learning a skill, but they're all the parents are seeing that the kids are adopting healthy eating habits. And that's just priceless, I think, to the parents. And that's what drives the enrollment. It's a life skill, yes, for sure.
Yep, totally. And schools used to do it. I'm really hard on schools. I mean, and everyone listening knows that I think that public schools are a total failure. They get an F and they've gotten an F for years.
We do actually do a lot of work with the public schools. And
excellent.
It's called a field trip. It's either an in-house field trip where we go to them, we'll either set up in the cafeteria or they'll come to us. But we have a component where it's a hands-on experience where the kids can have a lot of fun with the cooking experience. But then there's also a lecture where we literally go, we do a deep dive and teach them the difference between real food. We help them define it. What is real food and what is ultra processed food? Okay. And so by the time that they finish that event, they have a very clear understanding, not only what it is, but the cause and effect. When you're eating real food, all of the positive things that you can expect. And conversely, when you're eating ultra processed food. So this is what we do, and we get a lot of business through the public schools for the reason that you were just describing. Right?
How are you acquiring customers? How are you getting the brand out there to spread this message?
That's a great question. And this may sound, I don't want it to sound like it's magic, okay? Because it's not. But this is what happens in real life. So if we do a kid's birthday party with 25 5-year-olds, and in that scenario, there may be 40 or 50 parents. At the end of that party, every single kid in that place is going to go up to their mom and dad and say, I want to do my party here. I want to do my party here, right? It's just a referral type of business, right? Same would go for the summer camp. The kid comes in for 1 week of summer camp. They have the time of their life. Then they want to do their birthday party there. They want to do a cooking class. So there's a lot of cross-selling that happens very naturally. Same thing with adults. They come for a cooking class. They say, hey, do you guys do parties for adults? And they just naturally want to either do a team building event or an adult party. Hey, my wife is turning, 30 or 40 next year. I'd like to do her party here. So we see a lot of the same faces year in and year out. As a matter of fact, at this stage of the game, 17 years in, we have some kids that we taught at 5 years old, right? They came in at 5 years old. They came
this
up.
This is what I want to know.
They came up through our programs. When they are old enough, they'll become a volunteer, right? They'll volunteer with us for a season or two. Then they'll become an employee. And then they're essentially like family members. And so we're a very community-oriented type of company. We know everybody, and everybody knows us, and everybody loves us. And we know their families. Maria, she spends more time in the Miami location than I do anymore because I'm focused on franchising. But she'll come back and she'll say, "Hey, do you remember this kid? We saw them in Miami Shores when they were 4 years old. Well, now I have their little brother. This one is in college, and now we got a little brother that's coming through the program again." So it's very joyful. It's a beautiful business from that standpoint. And it's from the business point. Yeah, from a business standpoint, it's great as well, because we don't spend a lot of money on advertising. The only time we spend any money is on certain, summer camp guides and things like that, just to maximize the enrollments for summer camps and things like that. But the rest of the business is very like word of mouth and repeat business.
This, I love that. I don't like one and done businesses, right? I like built-in recurrence, membership-based models. I like that repeat business. And it sounds like there's repetitiveness, but I don't understand it. So clarify for me how a five-year-old enters, and I'm going to be frank, and doesn't get bored. What are you doing at 5, 6, 7, 8, 12? Is there a graduation of, well, now we're getting more sophisticated. Now we're baking. Now we're this and now we're that. How do you keep them engaged?
Yes. Well, for one thing, our cuisines are very diverse. So they could be making pasta 1 week, and they could be making sushi the next week, and Indian food the following week. And then they could be doing gingerbread houses around the season, around the holidays. So it's very diverse. It's all over the place. And then for the repeat customers, the kids that come back, year in and year out, or month in and month out, they graduate, right? So when they learn some skills, we take them from one table, because the younger kids with less skills are at one table. Then they graduate to, with older kids and, more responsibilities. So they're always being challenged within our curriculum, right? They're going from one table to the next.
Okay. Talk about pricing. How are you pricing this service? And is there multiple pricing, levels?
Yeah. So it's kind of all over the place, because we do a lot of different things. But the easiest ones to talk about, I guess, would be like the kids' cooking classes are $45.
How long is it? Am I in the class for the $45?
Oh, it's a 90-minute class. 90 minutes. Okay. So 9:30 to 11:45. Every Saturday morning. Then the after-school programs, there's one price for the younger kids. The teens are a different price. Summer camp is 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's $575. It's a couple of years now, we increased the pricing on the summer camp, because we were selling out our summer camp at 60 kids. And people were just really begging Maria to, please, my kid's friend signed up, please, get me in there. And we were at $375 per week. And so I said, well, this is insane, because it was just too many kids. And I just felt that we weren't given the quality of the service that we could be. So I said, okay, so we went from $375 a week to $575, and we've reduced the number from 60 down to 40. And now we have the same problem again, where, she's always buttoned up against that. We're sold out, by the way. So the summer camp, you talk about pricing. How do we know that the pricing is correct? Because we sell out every single seat, every single week, every single summer for the last 15 years.
You're cooking the whole time, or no? You're interspersing other activities, the Miami, aquarium, and it's things like that.
Well, we do breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon snack. But they do all kinds of competitions and restaurant games and all kinds of fun things to keep the kids busy. So they'll finish making their breakfast. They'll get them up. They'll move them to another part of the academy. do some sort of a game while we clean the table and reset it for the next meal.
Okay. Okay. What is the traditional staffing model of the business?
I think if for every 10 kids, we may have one chef and one assistant. You know, so there's one chef that's going to keep their eyes on the kid, that's going to be working with them closely. Then the assistant is kind of running around, grabbing ingredients, cleaning up, you know, and that sort of thing. So maybe one or two staff for 10 to 12 kids is a guess. So don't hold me to that if I'm wrong. But then we have a, you know, dishwasher or dishwashers, depending on the number of kids overall.
Let's just go through item 7. This is the size. This is the demographics of the area that we operate in. I mean, to afford some of these services, that you have to be in, I don't know, middle class to upper middle class to affluent areas.
Yeah. So,
and then let's break down the item 7.
Yeah, good question. So the territories that we're looking for when we map them out, we're looking for 150,000, a number of people in the $150,000 annual income range, right? And
household.
Then up to 150 household okay. household income, yes. And then our FDD provides up to 150,000 in total population. So depending on the area, it could be a bigger radius, a smaller radius, but 150,000 people in that radius. As far as the item 7 goes, our range is 332,000 to 511,000.
Okay. Are you the 511? Is that why you disclosed 511?
We don't have any franchisees yet, right? So when we sat down to build the item 7, we had to do the low range, right? And then the higher range, right? So we, you know, for example, if they're going to buy a refrigerator or a freezer, you know, we would say, well, this would be kind of a best case scenario that you could purchase a freezer. And this would be like the worst case scenario, you know, so that would be for the equipment line, right? So it's broken down by line, as you know. These are estimates, right? That take into consideration everything that a franchisee may be investing to open a real academy.
Okay. What are the hours of operation? Let's talk a little bit about lifestyle. Am I there 7 days a week? Is this a 5 day week biz?
Well, that depends. We offer two different business models. One could be the owner operator, which is the way we started out, Maria and I. Now we're more of a semi absentee because we're working more on the franchising part of it. So it depends on which model that you adopt, right? If you're the owner operator and you're going to be there with your sleeves rolled up and you're going to be doing the classes and things like that, you're going to be the primary person, right? But you're going to have somebody else that's going to, you can't be there 7 days a week, right?
But the store operates 7 days per week?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're open.
Right.
We're open 7 days, and you know, some weeks are busier than others. It has more to do with how many bookings that we have. Some things are set in stone, right? We know when the summer camp is going to start, and we know when it's going to finish. We know our Thursday evening cooking class is going to be every Thursday night from 7 to 10. Right. What we don't know is somebody going to book a team building event on Monday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon or both. Right. So those bookings are unknown. So sometimes we have a really busy week. Sometimes it's slower. Thankfully, most of the time it's busier.
Is there anything proprietary like the scheduling system or anything that's patented, proprietary, that's unique to your brand?
I would say the thing that's most proprietary is our curriculum. We've been developing a really robust curriculum because this is the most important thing to us, is teaching people how to choose the ingredients when they go to the store, and there's 30,000 different oils to choose from. And people, their head is just going in circles, not knowing how to choose food. And we know that most people don't because of the chronic disease, right? So this is our number one proprietary item that we're most proud of, is our curriculum. Aside from that, our calendars, booking schedule, everything is pretty standard stuff. But the curriculum is, I think, what would put us in a category of ourselves and by ourselves, and let us have the opportunity to say that we're the first to market cooking school that prioritizes teaching people how to eat in addition to teaching them how to cook. this is the other thing that kind of put us on the map, was the delicious food that Maria makes. This is sort of her claim to fame and her gift, is she is able to, whatever type of food that you like, she will show you a more healthy and more delicious version of it. This is the other thing that kind of put us on the map, is you don't have to, if you want to get healthy, it doesn't mean you're going to be eating salad, you know, day in and day out, and bland food. Right. This is not what it's about. It's about just educating people and empowering people to know how to make a healthier version that's just as delicious and most of the time more delicious than what they're used to eating.
Absolutely. You know,
because we would rather have people avoid getting chronic disease, because if you have, everybody has got problems today, right? You have a lot of problems, but if you have a health problem, then you only have one problem, right?
That's right.
And so this is what we're all about. This is our North Star. Healthy ingredients are higher priority to us than teaching people how to cook. Teaching people how to eat is what we do.
Can you please provide the audience with your 2024 item 19?
Yeah, top line was 1.273 million. 1.273. 1,273,000.
Good for you.
And the bottom line, the net income after all the expenses, was 271,844,000.
That's excellent. That shows consistent upward improvement and growth in the business. Everything you're doing is working out. I want to share with the audience, I found this very interesting, a little bit of an analysis. 33% of your revenue came from parties. It was your number one revenue stream.
Right.
You know, because people like, no, the money's in the classes. I find it interesting how we always have this preconceived idea of how a business is making money. The lion's share of your revenue comes from parties. Camps was 28% of revenue.
Yeah.
Classes, which I thought was your core competency, was actually the opposite. It was 18%.
Yeah.
I mean, this is why we remain open-minded.
Yeah.
I will bring anyone on the show that wants to share their story, because I'm learning so much about everybody's business. It's actually remarkable that parties again, 33%, camps 28%, classes 18%, field trips were 11%. Field trips may seem like a, you know, don't do it, but 11% of revenue, it's 120,000. I'm not throwing that out of bed. And then I was shocked to learn wine and beer. You actually sell, so you have to explain that.
We do.
You actually sell wine and beer, which means the franchisees need to get a wine and beer license.
Yeah, which is not difficult. Two COP license is a lot easier than a liquor license. It's also more consistent with our brand. You know, we don't really encourage hard alcohol. We discourage it, actually. If somebody says, oh, can we bring liquor? We say, you know, not really. But we do sell wine and beer. We allow people to bring wine. We charge a corkage fee if they do. But yeah, so I'm a wine lover. I've chosen, I think we have a really great wine list. So people don't need to run to the store on the way to cooking class, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what are we eating tonight? What wine goes well with this? So we have a really robust selection of great wine, red and white wines and sparkling wines from all over the world, priced really conservatively. Great. And so we're really proud of our wine list.
Yeah, it's 4% of revenue.
Yep.
It's $50,000.
Yep.
Your cost of goods and supplies, which sound like they include paper and everything, was 16%. And obviously, you've made it very clear using high quality ingredients.
Yep.
Your labor costs were 28%, and your net was over 20% net to the bottom line in Miami, 5,500 square feet, doing $1.2 million. Nice business you've built, Art. Tell your wife, I think it's very impressive. Congratulations. I don't know if you know this, and you can look this up. People always talk about it. Do you watch the Shark Tank?
I have, yes.
You watch it? Did you? Now, these guys are worth hundreds of millions and some are billionaires on the show. There's nothing exciting about $1 million revenue number if you're a billionaire. If you're a billionaire.
Right.
Do you ever notice how excited that the sharks get when they go, what were your revenues last year? And they say anything over $1 million. They're like, whoa, if you did a compilation of presenters saying, I did $1 million last year with the entire Shark Tank reaction, do you know why that is? Because 94 to 96% of all businesses in this country do less than $1 million. That's why You're in an exclusive club. We'll call it a 4 to 6% club. Anyone doing over a million, a lot of people don't realize that when someone's doing a million, it's not like, oh, okay, it's a big freaking deal. It's a big deal. Yeah. You're in a very unique club as a small business owner to do over a million. And, you know, on the show, we just kind of talk about it, but we don't really put emphasis on how much a million is an impressive number, especially with a million means nothing to me if you have a net negative number. And it's like, yeah, we did a million last year. We lost four grand. If you're doing a 20% net in brick and mortar food, I think that's impressive. I think what you're doing is great.
You know what I would add to that is,
please.
Yeah. So doing over a million is great. But if you're miserable to earn that money, it's nothing to really brag about. But if you're having a lot of fun and you have a lot of joy in your life, this is the other thing that I try to emphasize too. You know, we have a great environment. It's very low stress. The customers are like floating out the door on cloud nine. You know, people love what we're doing. So people are just happy to be there. We have thousands of our reviews, and you could check it out yourself. 5-star reviews, not 4.9, not 4.8, but 5-star reviews through Yelp and Google, 5 stars, which, you know, I think speaks for itself.
Totally. I always look up reviews. Everyone tells me how great their brand is. I let the public determine how great it is. Right? It's so true.
And so
it's very impressive what you've done.
There's something to be said for that too. You know, so making the money is great, right? Having a great net income is great. But being happy about what you do day in and day out, I think is more great than anything, right? When your staff loves you, your customers love you, you're doing something that's very positive in the community. I could not be happier than to be a co-founder with my wife in the Real Food Academy.
It's great. I love it. On that note, you can't close better than that, man. That was a great close. Okay. I really appreciate your time with me. I think we've learned, the audience has learned an awful lot about you, the brand, your background. It's impressive concepts. Anyone has any interest, reach out to me, reach out to Art. Would love to share the story. All right. Thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Cliff. Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We'd love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.